care for you.
Yes, yes, yes. Imagine. That is by Nico and Vince. And for those that aren't aware, we are live on the Be Better Show. And I've got my queen, Aro Rate, in the house, the queen behind Africa Month, Vocal Roots.
Hello.
Everything we love to celebrate. And I have to say, this track, I'm going to play it again at the end. I'm getting myself, I'm new to this artist. I'm new. You know, when I vibe, I have to connect with the lyrics. I say this every week. And I'm already getting, it's got an elephant here, sis. You know, I already can see the Ubuntu. But my queen, welcome to the show. I am super blessed and honored to have this beautiful queen in our studio for today. She's a powerhouse. She is the voice, the face, the generation of just bringing this new way of leadership. You know, like we like to see within our African community, but to celebrate Black excellence. And do it in a way where it's humble, where it's beautiful, where we like to celebrate everyone at once. And Aro Rate, you give me that vibe. You're just always celebrating about everyone. But thank you for joining us on the show today. You are the founder of many things, my sis. How are we feeling?
Feeling really good. Thank you so much for having me, Tina. Like, genuinely, I don't get many opportunities like these days to like sit down and reflect and have a conversation. So it feels really, really good. And I usually try to stay behind the scenes when it comes to the community work. So it is nice to kind of sit down and yeah, just have a think and talk about the work.
I love that, sis. I was pretty much a African stalker, an African lover, and just proud of the commitment, the effort, the love that you genuinely have for our people. And I mean that, like, you just got no ounce of just stopping. And I just want to celebrate you today, to be completely honest. And, you know, the month was so successful, from the youth to the teenagers, to the elders, to just everyone. And like, how was that like for you, sis, bringing this, you know, birthing the Africa Month into place? Like, how did, what was the inspiration behind it?
So for me, this all started 5 years ago, or maybe 5.5 years ago. And it was really an intention around, well, we're not visible. You know, that was really the main thing. I had sat down with my team. I was in this role at Auckland Council where we got to program events and workshops and all kinds of activities. And when we looked at the calendar of what was coming up for the year, the African community wasn't really there. The African diaspora wasn't really there. So I was like, you know, you kind of end up being that person sometimes to represent your community. So in that moment, I took that as an opportunity to say, hey, we could do something, thinking about how, you know, in the US and the UK, they have month-long celebrations around their community and their diaspora and their history and heritage and culture and celebrating all of those things. So I thought we could do that in May because we have Africa Day already. That's already a grounding day that brings us all together and unifies us. So that was really the initial inspiration. And then every year since, it's always been an opportunity to kind of introduce the community to new things, to celebrate creativity and diversity, and particularly connecting us to people that are outside of the African continent, because there can be a bit of that friction sometimes, or has been in the past, where, you know, if you're not born on the continent, you're not really considered part of the community. And that to me is not fair, and it's not right way to kind of go about it. We're greater in numbers, especially in this part of the world where our numbers can be quite small sometimes. So thinking about, you know, our friends, our cousins, our family that are in the US, that are in the Caribbean islands, that are in South America, that are from the UK, that are here in the Pacific, you know, that feel that connection and pull to home and want to celebrate the heritage with other people that look like them, you know, bringing us all together in that way and celebrating that diversity.
I love that. And, you know, in regards to yourself as well, Aro Rate, like, being of African descent here in Aotearoa, how was it like for you to like build that up from scratch and actually connect with different groups, connect with different networks, actually, to bring this? Because there's a lot of mahi that goes into connecting and bringing together a space where we can be celebrated. How was it like for you and your journey bringing this to light?
I really do want to, like, preface and, like, be really clear and intentional that I didn't really start anything. All I did was highlight what already exists. So the community's always been there. The talent, the creativity, the artistry, that's always been there.
Mm.
I didn't start any of that. All I did was try to shine a spotlight and create a platform to sort of uplift everyone and what they're already doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the organization's already there. The elders are already there that hold so much of our history and our stories before even I got here, you know, before I was born. So it was really about bringing all those different people, those parts, those groups, the creatives as well that are in our community, trying to bring them together. One thing, and I was actually reflecting on this last night with a youth group that I'm working with, and I was talking about this program, and one thing that has always been a challenge was people sharing their ideas with me and kind of trusting that I could create space for them to make it happen. So that was the initial thing with the first year of Africa Month 5 years ago was, hey, I've got an expression of interest form. Would you like to fill it up? Would you like to sign up and be a part of this? What kind of things would you like to do? What would you like to see? And then having no one sign up. And so then I have to go and kind of connect with people individually or groups individually and then try to pull things together that way. And so that kind of has been the main way of doing it for the longest time. So it's really exciting this year that we did try and pilot and attempt to have emerging creatives leading some of the programming and bringing their own ideas. And I hope that that's something that we can continue forward in the coming years. But I really, everyone's always been there doing their own thing in their own parts of Auckland, in their own parts of New Zealand, you know. So it was just about highlighting. And I think people's attention is there now. Like, people are aware of our community, of our talent, of our skills and experience and all of that kind of stuff. So it's working.
I love that. Arate, you know, the month itself, everyone knows it's May. And, you know, it takes time for, I would say, Auckland or even Aotearoa as a whole to understand that dynamic that our Africa month is in May. And how, for you, how was it like trying to build that up from scratch? Because, you know, every week we always bring in our guests and they talk about, like, you know, how it's been for them to bring something new into the scene or into the community. But for you, Arate, how was it like, you know, being African and coming into this pool of diversity, but also the strong stance here in Aotearoa of how they recognize and see culture? Because I sometimes see it's challenging in a way of trying to push, not an agenda, but like just representation into the scene. And how was it like for you? Because it's hard to lead sometimes because you don't really know how to, and you need that kind of backing. But you did that. Like, you went in and you were just like, I'm gonna do it.
No, that's my energy, is I'm gonna do it. Like, that's it. Yeah. Period. Full stop. Like, genuinely, that's always been my energy. I don't know where I get it from, but it's just like a constant, like, stamina and kind of determination to see things through and get things done. Like, I've just always had that in me. It's my character and my personality. However, there has been challenging times and definitely times where I'm like, what am I even doing? Like, is there a point in pushing this? You know, people are not getting it. Or there's been a lot. The program is really centered around smaller sort of activations and activities and moments of connection. It's not a big festival because we've already have that, and the people that organize that in our community are doing so well in that space. However, we do need a space for people to kind of slow down and reflect and connect, and that was where the gap was and has been continuously. So that's what I was really trying to do. Is, you know, I was really fortunate to work in a community center and have relationships with libraries and things like that, and from the beginning, so having those physical community centered spaces to activate and create programming that centers our people and our stories and our heritage has been really great. The challenges have been just in really subtle ways, and we all experience that, you know, as a Black woman, as a Black person, really subtle experiences where people kind of Yeah, just microaggressions, you know, but they have a big impact. You know, we say micro, but they do affect you, you know, long term and especially in the moment. So, yeah, people saying they don't want to support or indirectly saying it or not wanting to give venue space or changing the dates or forgetting that, telling me that there's this lengthy process that I have to go to pitch the project or the event, and I do, and then all of a sudden they've lost the form that I filled out. Like little things like that that have happened over the past. Thankfully, to balance that out, there have been, you know, and I don't want to say allies because I don't really believe in allyship, but people that are sort of, there's another word for allyship that I like to use, but people that are accomplices, they would stand by me, vouch for this program, vouch for our community, vouch for resources so that we could do the work that we do, and they could see the bigger picture and the impact of what we're doing. Smaller events, smaller things, but they could see the bigger impact and the longer term positive effects of it. So thankfully there's been more good, genuine people that have supported this that aren't even African and that aren't even black people, which is really, really important. That's why I call them accomplices, because they were willing to, you know, put themselves on the line for our community in different ways that may seem small but are actually like quite important, significant things and important and significant relationships to have. So really thankful for those individuals as well, that really outweigh the not so good, not so kind people that exist.
I love it, and it's pure authenticity. You are speaking it from experience. She has done the mahi, and I love that, because you know, sometimes we tend to, we think we know that we've got a strength at something, but when someone's really good at something, that's actually such a good thing. It's a blessing, you know, we got to celebrate that. And yes, ace it, you know, go through it. And I just get, you're not a gatekeeper. Like, I just really say, you know, I love to speak my mind when it comes to things. And my, like,
I am
aura.
A bit of a gatekeeper, though. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I've learned to be more of a gatekeeper than I have been in the past.
Yes,
I think
yes.
In the past I was more like, yeah, everyone, da-da-da. Now I'm a little bit more thoughtful.
Yes.
You know, and taking time to digest and reflect. But there's a balance, I think. I think I'm a gatekeeper in terms of, for example, with this kind of program, it should be led by our communities, right? So I'll gatekeep that in the sense that who are the people in our community that would be the that have the best skill set for to lead or facilitate this activity,
right.
Or who hasn't had an opportunity that could benefit from having an opportunity, you know, like trying to think more in that way. So I do gatekeep, I won't lie. And then also gatekeeping in the sense that people outside of our community love to come in and be like, hey, I want to interview you. Hey, I want to, I'm doing this research, you know, give me all your information. Tell me your life story. Extracting from you your experiences, your emotions, your trauma, and then going and using it and benefiting off it, getting their degrees, getting their limelight, their shine, getting their resources and payment and stuff. But you, that's given to them, you don't see any of that. You don't see the results of that. You don't get to benefit, or your family, your children, they don't get to benefit in the long term. So I'm a gatekeeper in that sense of like, we can't just be giving and giving and giving, you know, and we come from those cultures that are very hospitable, that those are values that are baked and you know, passed on, and they're beautiful values and ways of living to have. However, we do have to be mindful when people do try to come into our communities and just take and never give back or never give anything to reciprocate. So gatekeeping does have value, I do think.
Love that. And I think you're more the protector of that. And like, you know, I love that you say that, because you're so 100% right, sis. And you are, I was good gatekeeper. you know, and you're such a protector of our community. And I adore that. You know, I really respect that, because we need more of that. And, it brings me to my next question of how you were brought up, Arorate, you know, with your upbringing and your values and your beauty of black. Like, I just love the way you are black. You know, you just, it's authentic, it's pure, and you just connect. you know, on a level where I see you and I hear you and I can connect you with what you want to do. And we need that in our youth as well, even with our older community as well. I wouldn't say older, okay, mature, because we love, but you know, our mature community, I just think that we need a bit of just that equal balance of I see you, I hear you, and let's make things happen. Because with Africa Month, or with the work that you do, even for those that are tuning in, Adorati's not just putting this a week before for Africa Month. Like, she's all year long prepping and planning. And how was that like for you growing up, sis? You know, bringing your values, the way that your parents have brought you up, or just your whole experiences of just coming and being you and saying you want to do this?
I think for me, it's been an interesting thing to reflect on, because I think people expect me to, and expect a lot of us that look like me to have, like, look down on ourselves in a way, right, or carry that internalized racism or self-hate and things. And there's definitely been moments in my life, like, I, you know, we all have our ups and downs, you know, and periods and moments in our life where we aren't 100% confident or aren't feeling the best or having the best time. So for me, in terms of upbringing, positively, was having two parents that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that to judge anyone that doesn't. However, having a mother and a father and siblings and a wider community who speak my language, who come from where I come from, where we met regularly on the weekends or had celebrated our Independence Day from colonization regularly every year, having seen performance and dance and being involved in that from a young age, that has been really formative in my childhood growing up. And like going to school with my siblings, you know, even though we're different ages, obviously the different year groups, having family friends as well, going to the same school. So that was really formative when I do reflect on that, so that I always knew where I came from. I always knew who my people were. I heard my language being spoken, you know, not just English at home or out in my community. So that has been really, really beneficial and had a positive impact on me. And then for me growing up, I honestly think it's so weird to think about it now, but growing up, there was a lot of black people on TV. So I gravitated to like the African-American shows, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, That's So Raven. Like, there was actually a lot of TV shows where black people were the main character, and they weren't necessarily African, but they were African enough for me to connect with and feel seen, you know, in media. So that was also really, really beneficial. Music as well. And then also I grew up at a time where the internet became really popular and I got to connect with other black people around the world. So I want to say like 2009, 10, 11, 12, like being online was like the natural hair movement and all these black girls like showing off their natural hair and curls and stuff. It was just like lucky timing, I guess, maybe in my childhood, of like these really pivotal moments in time where I'm like, oh, blackness is being celebrated. Being who I am naturally is being celebrated. So that was really great to be surrounded by a lot of that online, but also in person. And then university was really pivotal for me, because then I got to go and follow what I was interested in, study what I was interested in. And there was this class called sociology. That was one of the first ones that I took in my first year of uni. And I got to write an essay about Gossip Girl. Gossip Girl is my favorite TV show. My favorite TV show when I was in high school. Yeah. And I was like shook. I was like, I get to write about Gossip Girl in sociology, and like just being able to tie like all the stuff that I was feeling, but I didn't have the language for, like, that was just amazing. Like, my brain just, like, expanded. And I studied media. That was, like, my degree. So being able to, like, actually find the right language and the terminology to explain how I was feeling when I watched shows that reflected me, how I was feeling when I watched shows that didn't reflect me, why was that important, how was that important. And so media, film, TV became something that I was, like, really, really attached to, because it was like, okay, now I finally have the words to explain why I feel this way and why growing up in this Western society where there's not many people that look like me, why it feels the way it does, and finding the people that also felt that same way and connecting with them and just finding my people, like, you know, people that had similar interests to me, people that like the same style or fashion or music and all of that kind of stuff. So uni was really great because I just got to kind of be curious, like actively curious about my world, my life, the things that I liked, the things that I didn't like, and really form my own identity and personality outside of home, outside of the culture that I grew up in, and kind of, you know, that third culture kid thing of work, living in two worlds, you know, at home with one culture and then outside, you know, being surrounded by this Western Kiwi culture. So, yeah, I was very lucky just like growing up that I've had all these really great experiences, and then just always being that kid that's like, I want to do youth stuff. Okay, cool. I'm going to do this. My first community role was at Planet FM over 11 years ago, doing a community radio show, meeting all these people and getting to interview them like you. You get to meet some amazing people, right? They say amazing things. Perfect. You learn so much in these kinds of conversations and spaces. So that has all just really given me such an incredible foundation to be like, I'm proud of who I am, I'm proud of where I come from, I'm curious to explore more of that and what that looks like, and also just connect with other people here in New Zealand but also online that have similar kind of feelings to me.
I love that.
That was really wrong-winded. I apologize.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I can go on for like, I can, like, this is what I love and this is what I love doing, sis. Right? You know, this is the reason why we... And I just appreciate your purity, sis. Like, I really do mean that. And it brings me to the beauty of Africa Month and also Vocal Roots, because these two platforms are just, you know, for me, game changers, like, on how we see and reflect on community, because it's vocally speaking on our beauty and blackness that we see in the community. And it's so healing to see a platform where you're like, oh my gosh, I can just be me. You know, I'm not trying to put on a reel and, you know, I got to change this, I got to change that. Like, it's just that representation, like how you mentioned, sis, I see myself and I know what I love. And, you know, with the month that has just passed us, what were some of the highlights, like, really for yourself to see things come to light and just to celebrate also the period of you progressing and the growth that you've had, producing, becoming, and also for me, I'd say holding on to that mana that you have and just really passing it on to everyone to know you have mana too.
Yeah.
You know,
mana is so important. Like, thank you for saying that, because for me, it's really, I just try to be unapologetic about it. I'm like, I think about it in a way of like, well, it's common sense to hire an African photographer. It's common sense to showcase African artists. We have incredible art. We have incredible creatives from the continent. We have incredible traditional crafts and processes and things that we shouldn't forget, or we should try to reconnect to, because that creative expression helps us, you know, kind of connect to ourselves and to each other in different ways. To me, it's practical to showcase our performers, because again, we're all natural performers, whether it's, you know, through oral storytelling or music or playing an instrument. Those are things that are so natural to our communities, and we should totally like support that, you know. And so that's kind of my thinking, is like, I'm not overthinking it. There is deep meaningful things I can absolutely attach to those things, but I do try to think grounded and practical of like, let's do this because we should showcase this part of the community. Let's do this because everyone really enjoyed being a part of that. And for me, I guess the highlights from this year was, there's been different highlights across the whole month. For me, we did an open mic night for the first time ever, and it was just a random thing of, I couldn't get the funding for a bigger sort of outdoor festival performance thing, and so I was like, okay, we'll scale it back. I will self-fund it, and we will kind of strip it all the way back and let people come in and just try. If you haven't performed in a long time, if you are really nervous and you've written a poem and you want to try it, like, it was so much fun. And like, the people that showed up were so like the people that I love, just in terms of their attitude of just like, I just want to give this a go. And I was like, this is so cool. And it was such a diverse space. We had a South American band made up of other different kind of creatives from different cultures and walks of life. We had a beautiful young African Tanzanian guy who played his own original rap music. He played the piano at the same time, and he had that last minute. We didn't even know he was gonna get up and on the keyboard. It was amazing. We had some beautiful Kenyan writers and poets get up and perform, and it was just so beautiful. We had the Somali aunties get up and dance and sing. Like, it was just a vibe. Like, it was so fun and eclectic and just so sporadic and random, and I really, really enjoyed that. And then with the exhibition, having the two emerging curators, Nikki and Daisy, put that all together. They came up with the theme. They also came up with the programs that we did. We had a painting session, we had the panel, and just like seeing that come to life for them was really exciting, because it's really hard when you haven't done a lot of these things before mm-hmm. to imagine and create an idea and then for it to happen. I think that's really important for people to experience at any time in their life, is to have an idea and bring it to life. It's not something that everyone gets to do, and so that's always such a highlight. And then the last thing really was the oh my God, my brain. I showed up so I worked with the Faux Libraries. Mm. Thank you to Shadi for hooking that amazing connection up. There are three libraries in the Faux. There's the Newland Library, the Blockhouse Bay Library, and the Avondale Library. And when I initially dropped off some bead kits for the first 2 weeks of May, so people could just pop into the library, pick up the bead kits. When I showed up to Blockhouse Bay Library, they had a whole Africa display set up. I didn't even ask them to do wow. that. They had just gone out of their way to put together some books and printed out some amazing resources that told the history of like beading crafts and weaving crafts. And I was just like so shocked. Like, I almost cried, because I was just like, this is just so above and beyond. And just the research and time that the library staff had taken to create that display was just beautiful. And like the colors that they use, you know, like the Pan-African colors, it was just like, just the thought and detail that went into that was really, really, really special. And I was like, bro, the month's just started, like I need to keep it together, like I can't break down like right now, like oh my God. Like, and I just keep going through my camera roll every time I see that photo. I'm like, I just like look at it, like, you know, because it's just like, this is so cool that other people are taking that initiative to do their own research, to learn about our cultures. Because you know how it feels when someone asks you to educate them about all these things about you, and you're just like, bruh, like, am I Wikipedia? Like, what's going on? Like, it's just, it can be really exhausting and, again, extractive of you and your time and energy. So just the fact that people took that initiative and went out of their way was just like, ugh, like, cry.
I'm just out of words, and I'm learning, you know. It's beautiful because this is so healing, and I love it. Adorate, you're such a blessing to our community. I'm not saying that for the show, for the filter or anything. This is real life. And sis, I've got so much love for what you do in the community, and I wanted you to take this opportunity just to thank anyone, everyone that's been in your corner, but also any final, not final, because it's never final, any words that you'd like to share with our community out there in regards to more of our Africa Month for next year, and Vocal Roots, which is two major platforms that you kind of work on and give your heart to for the people.
Yeah, well, there's so much there, Tina. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to say names because I'm going to miss people out. I feel like, you know, at the Oscars, like, oh my God, like, I want to thank all these people. I didn't come with a list. I really do apologize. So, like, the people that I do want to thank, I hope they know who they are. Like, everyone that's been a part of the program from the beginning, thank you for your time, your energy, your ideas, the supporters behind the scenes that kind of helped make sure that we always had resources, that we always had a space to take over, to run the events and the workshops and the and all the different parts of the program, and that have helped with all the paperwork and all the things and the payments and all of that kind of stuff. You all know who you are, and I really do appreciate you. Thank you. I just don't want to say names because I know it's going to get contentious. So I really do appreciate them, and people like you, Tina. Thank you for giving me the space to talk about this and reflect on it, and just kind of share, I guess, some of that thinking behind all of this. Like, I do it's hard sometimes to pause and especially in the community line of work to really think to share this kind of stuff, because not everyone's always interested in these kinds of conversations. So I do appreciate you for giving me the space. Yeah, and I guess the message is really just how can we keep moving forward as a community? Like, how can we address the gaps that we have? How can we address the challenges that we have? How can we work more collaboratively together? You know, we may not always need to work together in that way, but we can work, you know, separately apart, but like in parallel. So just thinking how we could be, for me, innovation.